It's not a time where we're going to feel sorry for ourselves. We'll find our way through this. It's going to make it all the much more sweeter when we get to where we want to go.
Martinez back on the track. Near the wall. She's gone. It's a grand slam. Giancarlo. Nosy Blows Scopolo. He hits a home run on line drive in the right field seats. A grand slam.
Now takes a 6-4 lead. Kepler lines that in the air to left center. Hicks on the run, dives, and he made the catch! He made the play! Oh my goodness, what a catch from Aaron Hicks to end it!
In that sense, both looking forward to making a deep run into postseason and ultimately bringing home the title back to New York.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Yankee Center podcast, and we are here to break down the first two series of the season and mixed feelings. A lot going on in Yankees land. Tom, Eddie, how are you guys doing?
You know, you start the season. Day one's always like the most fun day because there's so much optimism. Maybe this is the year where, you know, certain people. Don't injure themselves. Things go right for a change. Maybe you start the season hot. Instead, you start 500 and your best player has probably an oblique strain. Let's not sugarcoat it. He probably has like a grade one strain of the oblique. Probably a 10-day IL thing. But they're going to do the Yankee thing where they wait about 3-4 days. Bullshit the media, lie to the fans.
Oh, tomorrow's going to suck. Tomorrow is going to be horrible when we hear Boone talk to the press. I cannot wait to hear what
I'm telling you this right now. I do not expect Judge to play this weekend series at the least, because you can't put a guy who literally was just standing out in right field and somehow strained his calf in Tampa last year. You can't put him out there, especially now that he's got hashtag general soreness in the side there.
You see, we need a new thing to call like these random injuries. Like with Voight, we had foot stuff. Like we
foot
have
stuff,
a,
knee stuff.
Like, general we'll put soreness. Judges, yeah. Like, it's too long though. It's gonna be catchy.
Remember, Ellsbury had general fatigue once.
Yeah, I mean
that was fun.
That's very Ellsbury like.
Yeah, that's pretty Ellsbury.
Yeah, he ran really hard and then you know his knee fell off. So. But yeah, 3-3, right? And it feels like the entire AL East has gotten off to like a mixed start. You know, the Blue Jays beat us, but then the Rangers kick their ass. The Rays beat the Marlins 2 out of 3, but then the Red Sox took care of them. And yada, yada, yada. The Red Sox lost the first 3 games to the Orioles, but then we took care of the Orioles. So everyone's around like 3-3, 4-2. So it's not like our season's like in jeopardy or anything.
Game 6 of the
season.
Exactly. We can be 0-6.
Even I was about to say 0-6.
Yeah, yep. At worst we would be 3 games back at worst.
That's what I'm saying. Like so, we will live.
So we're fine. It's just I'm more frustrated that certain concerns have been only elevated specifically
defense. After these 6 games, I am actually more optimistic about the season than it was going in, ironically.
I think we're a very good team and we're going to make the playoffs. I'm just a little pissy about, you know.
No, I'm pissy, too. I'm just saying, because the offense is not a concern. Even if Judge happened to miss, let's say, a month. Like, this ain't last year where a month basically means doomsday because it's a 60-game season.
Correct.
A month means you're going to be back. Sometimes
you're probably missing like 20 games and then you'll be back.
I mean, really? Like, I don't want to even think about this, but let's say we're even more serious. I just need Judge back and fresh and actually warmed up for the playoffs. That's the most important thing for me with Judge right now. I want a full season out of him, but I'm going to be realistic and say if we get 100 games, I'll consider it lucky. I'm pretty pessimistic with him right now.
You know, I have to cut Addy here for a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just, you know what's super frustrating? about these last two Judge injuries?
One. The kind of injuries?
No, one. They came out of, like, nowhere. Like, what did that man do to have... You remember, he just stood on turf in Tampa, and he had a calf strain. And then now we don't know what he did to hurt his side, but, like... And also, both injuries, he was, like, raking. So...
It's really weird. Like, I the more I think about it, I would like to think it's not that serious. Because, again, like you said, the guy was raking. He was. But you got to keep in mind, of course.
No, he's dead.
It progressively got worse.
No.
And that's why he's being benched right now.
No, he died. So.
You're dead. Now, yeah, moving on.
Yeah.
Now,
Eddie, we gotta get Eddie's comments.
I mean, Eddie, what are you thinking?
I did cut him off. Oh yeah, I feel bad for that.
Well, I was about to chime in with Aaron Boone. I don't trust him anymore. He's literally just a liar at this point, and it really does piss me off.
I don't even blame him. I don't blame him.
Someone is lying, and it's pissing me off.
But it's the Yankees front office telling Boone, you're allowed to say this, you're not allowed to say that, so on and so forth.
Yeah, and there's laws, too.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It just gets frustrating because there's just no transparency, you know? Like, oh, you hear, hey, Judge will be back. He's a pinch-hitting option after the game. He's not an option. I guess that keeps him like a threat, you know?
No,
like,
it's like a gamesmanship thing.
Right. I was like thinking that, too.
Yeah.
Still pisses me off, but I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, they just did it so to kind of scare off Brandon Hyde, but like that didn't work. But once you see Brett Gardner up there against the lefty and like,
then you know,
hey, Judge probably ain't coming.
Yeah, because that's a spot for Judge.
Yeah.
Those were some ugly at bats from Gardy too. No offense, I love him, but that was bad.
Gardy actually was not that bad in general so far.
No, he's been.
He's doing pretty good.
You know, keeping him rested like this is actually going to do good for him. Mm-hmm. He's gonna be fresh whenever
he ain't going to be resting that much this year. Yeah.
He might be playing 162 games or however many he's missed. He'll play the rest of them.
He's going to play quite a few.
Yeah.
That fucking sucks.
Yeah, he's going to end up playing 110, 120 games at least. I mean, I'm going to be honest. He is. It's the way it works. It's the Gardy rule. If Gardy is on the Yankees, he's going to play 110, 120 games.
You know what? Yep. I have a theory. I have a theory now.
He poisoned Judge.
No, I think Brett Gardner's mere presence on the roster is the reason why our outfielders keep getting hurt.
Is he too intimidating?
No. He was born on an ancient burial ground. Down in wherever. I think he's from North Carolina or South Carolina.
You're taking the spiritual angle here.
Brett Gardner on the outside and on the outside mostly is a relaxed prankster dude who everyone adores. But what they don't know is it was Brett Gardner all along. Boom, 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 boom. That was a WandaVision reference. It was Brett Gardner all along. He is the Agatha Harkness of the Yankees. And he has been poisoning Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, even Luke Voit to an extent. Brett Gardner is the reason why Mike Tauchman had a shoulder injury last year and couldn't catch up to a fastball.
I think Gardner has a motive, and the motive is because he's always been saying, you know, I'm going to hit more home runs than all of you. This is how he's going to do it. He's going to hurt everybody.
Yep.
Then he's going to lead the team in home runs. That's how he's going to do it.
He tore Aaron Hicks's elbow.
Exactly.
He did that. He's not a good person.
Oh, yeah.
He's bad. He's the one who gave Clint the yips back in 2019.
That was more of Clint being Clint.
You know what?
Yeah. Tom, don't stretch this onto Clint. That was all Clint.
I disagree.
And Clint is not making me happy this
year. What is the common denominator among all these injuries?
I'm not good at math.
Brett Gardner's presence. It's all him. It's all Brett Gardner. It's the voodoo of Gardner. He is the Agatha Harkness of the Yankees. Thank you. My theory.
Gardner's having a better year than Frazier.
That is correct. Once again, hashtag
It's fucking six games, Luke.
Yeah, I know, but I know what upsets you, so it makes me happy.
It does upset me, but you know what? It's pretty fun. That's why they play 162 instead of 60, like they did last year. So,
I gotta say, though, these extra inning rules over 162 games made them so much worse than last year. Like, last year, it was pretty quick, but you're adding 100 more games.
You know, I'm a hockey fan, and, like, whenever the overtime period ends and they have to go to the shootout, I just kind of, like, my entire demeanor just, like, drops. Because, like, you can't just play one more, like, five-minute overtime period to just decide it. It fucking sucks, you know? So, I hate these extra inning rules. But it was fun to see Tyler Wade do that funky slide into home when Higgy got that hit last night.
That was a great slide.
That was an awesome slide. Yeah, so, you know, Tyler Wade does have a use. You know who doesn't have a use?
Clint Frazier?
No.
Oh.
Roofnit fucking Odor.
Oh, we're going to go to the Odor talk here.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I may or may not have a bold claim here, but I don't know.
He is the next Kendrys Morales.
No, that's Jay Bruce.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Man, that's a good call. Well,
I mean, Jay Bruce can, like, sort of defend a little bit.
Okay, but
he could have gotten that ball yesterday.
He cannot.
That should have been scooped, but I'm not gonna sugarcoat that at all.
And that wasn't the only time he's done that either. Like, he's done that a few times now. So I think with Bruce, if I had to give a defensive analysis here, I'd say that he can move pretty well. Actually,
he's playing first base, but he's actually more mobile than we would have thought.
He can move. He can actually move, but that's not.
He gets
enough
to see.
Dude, imagine if we had like Chase Headley at third base and Torres at short with him. Imagine him trying to get all those throws out of the dirt.
Can you imagine if we had Eduardo Nunez at second base too?
Oh, that would be. I can't even imagine. That'd be a nightmare.
We gotta get Nunez back here.
Remember how free bad? Yes, but he's like he kind of aged out. He's kind of he's on the decline. But remember he just couldn't throw.
Yeah, we have a lot of guys who can't throw over the years.
Chase Headley got the yips. Nunez had the yips.
And what sucked about Headley was he had pretty solid range too.
Oh yeah, he got the balls and then
like he can, especially balls to his right. He was so good.
Chuck Knobloch had the yips too, and then like Headley used to get balls right, routine ground balls, and everything looked good. And then he did like this over the top throwing motion, and it always ended up in the stand. It like you know what's crazy? His throws were never in the dirt. It was always airmailed right into the stands. It was so funny. Mark Teixeira got leaping practice from all those throws. But Mark got hurt.
I miss him so much.
I'm at him.
I need him. I need him back. I really miss having a good defensive first baseman. I'm not going to lie. I miss it a lot.
You know, they should sign Mark Teixeira back off of the retirement block.
I would take him as a defensive replacement.
I mean, I bet you can still move first.
So, you know what? But, you know, who I think would have scooped that?
Look for it.
Gregory Bird.
I don't want to hear that name anymore.
That's like when you...
Oh, no, I got
no,
bad news,
that's
guys.
Like saying Voldemort during Sorcerer's Stone. Like,
I've got bad news.
What?
James Paxton needs Tommy John surgery.
Oof.
That is rough. Oh.
John Heyman, James Paxton has been recommended for Tommy John, would miss this year and be back in 2022.
Dude, we dodged a bullet there. My God, imagine if we resigned.
Yeah. I knew the injuries were just too much for Paxton. I mean, he looked like he had his velocity back this year from what I saw.
He was doing so well. And then.
Yep. It's just, he's just one of those players who can never stay healthy, and it really cost him money. It cost him a lot of money.
Yeah. And you know what? Instead of James Paxton, we got Tyone and Kluber, who I am pretty happy with so far. Got to say.
You know, I wanted Paxton back in the offseason, but I definitely understand why he's not back, because certain people just can't stay healthy.
Judge is just one of those people right now. What's making me really sad though?
What?
Dellin Betances.
Yeah, because I actually really love Dellin. Like Paxton, yeah. I love Dellin.
Dellin at his best was one of the best relievers I ever saw.
And he was such a good guy, too.
He was a great guy, and he was throwing like 95 to 100 with
the his knuckle curve ball. Was the, one of the most beautiful pitches I've ever
and
seen.
And remember, he's 6'8", so it was
coming, I know.
And he threw kind of like over the top as well. So cool. You're talking about like a 10-foot release point. It was unhittable for a good, 5 years. And remember 2017 when we were making the run? And, he just couldn't throw strikes. He just, forgot how to throw strikes.
Wait, what year?
2017, remember?
Wait, Paxton?
No, I was talking about Betances.
I was thinking of Paxton still for some reason. I had a brain.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what? No.
Yeah, he was not on the team in 2020.
Yes, Betances. I do remember that. He had quite a few of those stretches sometimes, but he'd always bounce right back out of it.
Yeah, 2017 those were rough. Year where he actually just never bounced back.
I still remember he had a time once, I think he walked the bases loaded, and then he struck out 3 in a row.
Betances was hilarious.
It was so bizarre.
Yeah, but fuck. That it makes me sad to see him with the Mets now throwing 90 miles an hour and just it's pretty clear that it's not coming back at this point. And today he got put on the injured list for a shoulder impingement. So I'm starting to see the end for Dellin. And you know what sucks is that he never got to get the contract.
Nope.
Yep. So he's like Paxton, and he never got to get the contract. So.
And you know what? I criticize the Yankees a lot for moving on, but they might have saw something, man. They might have saw something to suggest that this was a long.
I mean, they had his medicals, so.
That's what I mean. Knew. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very sad. Eddie, how are you feeling about Paxton and Betances?
Yeah. Paxton, I was just like, let's go. I liked him. I liked the stuff, but I knew we had to move on. Betances, I wasn't really as sold, but I wasn't upset really when he didn't come back. You know, the bullpen isn't really ever a big concern for me. The rotation is more where I'm concerned, but I like the additions anyway. And I didn't want Paxton back, so that wasn't a big deal. But I like Dellin as a guy, and considering that, you know, he's a homegrown Yankee, which have a soft spot.
Yeah.
He was dominant for, I would say, 2014 to.
Yeah.
What year did he get hurt? Was it 2014
to 2018? Yeah, 2014 to 2018.
Yeah, he was dominant. So.
Yeah, and then he got hurt 2019, and then signed with the Mets 2020, and then this year he's not doing well.
Yeah, I don't think he's got much left in the tank, if any, because he was bad whenever he pitched last year. And
He's throwing 90 miles an hour.
I mean, he started slow all the time, but
it's not
coming at all.
Too late now.
So it's gone. I don't know. It's just it doesn't seem to be coming back anytime soon. But you know, but we're gonna be talking about that rotation.
I mean, the Yankees bullpen and rotation right now has me beyond excited. You know, I went into the season optimistic. A lot of people were pretty down on the pitching, saying just too much risk. But I stand by what I initially said in the beginning. When you have that much talent, you're bound to hit on a couple guys. And you hope that you hit on more than a couple, because if you do, you hit the freaking jackpot. And so far, and obviously, again, very short sample. But you can tell when someone's getting lucky versus them actually having the stuff to succeed. And I can tell you right now, Kluber at least has the stuff to succeed. Tyone has the stuff to succeed. We have breakouts in the form of Loaisiga and Nelson and even King right now, man. All three of them.
Nick Nelson is Tommy Canley.
You're not wrong. With that Bugs Bunny changeup, yeah, I can totally see that.
Yep. And you know what? Awesome. He always goes to 3-2 and then strikes out the guy.
I mean, the Yankees bullpen could literally be the best in baseball this year, quite easily, honestly, because
it's so nasty.
You have you went into the season with 5 MLB proven vets, and now you're having 2 to 3 kids break out, And I think the breakouts are very real, because the thing is, the stuff was always there with these guys. You just never quite put it together. But going back to just spring of this year, and even for Nelson, you saw some flashes last year. Like, they were getting very close to hitting that next level, and I think they're here. They hit that level, and now we're at a point where 1 through 8, I'm literally confident in every reliever to pitch well. Like, our worst reliever is Luis Sessa, and he is not a bad reliever at all. Like, he's a pretty good middle innings reliever on a lot of teams. And for us, he is last in the pecking order.
In fact, sources say that he can be considered an okay reliever now.
Bang.
He used to be bad, but
he used to be bad.
He used to be bad. Now he's not bad. So
he's been good for a couple years.
That slider really is that pitch for him now. So
good
job, Luis. You're like one of the last guys in the bullpen, and you're actually pretty nasty at times.
We get Justin Wilson back.
Ooh.
Yeah, and then don't forget, we're getting Zach Britton back some point midseason as well.
They said actually end of May, right after the 60 days when it comes up. I think it was May 31st.
Just remember one thing, is that when he comes back, there will be rust, and B, that he probably won't have full velocity, just like Gio Urshela, because they had the same surgery. So just be mindful of that. Don't expect Zach Britton to be Zach Britton just for like a month or two. Just give him some time.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't care. It's about deepening the bullpen even more. That's all I care about. It's another, because just his presence alone adds a lot to the bullpen. I mean, with those guys, that's what they do. And Aroldis Chapman, man, I am beyond thrilled with him. You know, I gotta say this right now. I want to call out everybody.
That's splitter,
If you are not happy with Aroldis Chapman as your closer, you can go fuck yourself, man. How many other closers would you rather have over Chapman? Tell me right now. Like, the list is really short.
It's very small.
I'm thinking, like, maybe Hader.
Maybe Hader, but who else?
Maybe Nick Anderson, but Nick Anderson in the playoffs really struggled last year.
The thing is, Chapman's presence alone, I will take that over.
Maybe
Nick
Liam Hendricks, maybe, but I don't think I would take Liam Hendricks over him.
I'm gonna be honest, I will take Chapman over reliever right now.
I'm going through the list right now. I'm just thinking. I don't think there is one right now.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty good, man.
With the new splitter, he is a new pitcher, man. Right now, that pitch has a 100% whiff rate on 5 uses, which is hilarious. No one can touch that pitch. And it's because you mix that with a slider and a fastball, the hitters are just going to be at the plate guessing the whole time, and they will not be able to get a good read on anything. Like, I don't think anyone is going to hit Chapman this year, outside of maybe 1 or 2 games. He's perfect right now.
You know what it is? It's the consistency that Chapman has done it at. It's every year he's pretty much just, he's Chapman. And, like, you can see, like, these breakout relievers who have, like, 1 or 2 in a row.
Exactly.
Great years. You look at, like, Kirby Yates, he had a great year, and then, you know, then he had a down year. It's like, a lot of these players have had, these relief pitchers, they have big years, and then they don't have good years, and then that's
Chapman's just
so consistent.
Yeah. The other day I saw Mariano Rivera stats. We used to see this all the time years ago, but they were comparing them to Craig Kimbrel again, and I'm like, dude, enough with that. Because the difference is, it doesn't matter if Kimbrel's numbers are better in quite a few categories, because he pitched half as long. Rivera pitched for 20 years at a high level. Kimbrel's already
reach that longitude. Kimbrel is past his prime.
Like, he has pitched in half the innings of Rivera, and he's already crapping out. So don't even pretend that Kimbrel is even close to what Rivera is. Like,
here's the thing. Kimbrel is definitely, like, that bigger strikeout closer, that more, I guess you can say, quote-unquote, dominant kind of guy. But, like, Mariano Rivera pitched, like, 20 years, one pitch through a cutter, just sawed you off, and then just ended the game on like 10 pitches.
It's pretty ridiculous.
So, like, they're two completely different styles.
I want you to keep this in mind. 2013 was his last season.
Yeah.
And he was 43. And he pitched to a 2.11 ERA. He was a legitimate... to a 2.11 ERA over 64 innings.
He was a legitimate all-star that year. Like, he wasn't like an all-star game just because they were kind of sending like him off. Yeah, it wasn't like Jeter where he got like an honorary all-star game. No, Mariano Rivera, if that wasn't his last year, still should have been an all-star that year.
It's crazy, man.
Like, he was awesome that year. So
he has the all-time record for ERA plus, actually. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he is a king. Kind of reminds me of me in Little League.
You know, Tom, I don't need to hear about Little League U anymore. I really don't.
Led my team to the championship. Thank you.
All right, well, moving on.
Still got the trophy.
Shut up. We are playing the Rays next.
It's hanging in my closet right now.
Stop it. Yeah. And it's going to be very fun.
You know what? You know what? You know what?
What?
I'm here to talk Major League Baseball, not Tom Little League Baseball.
That's right.
And you know what we need to get into? You know what we need to get into? It's time to get into the games. It's time to get into opening day.
We don't need to cover every single game, I don't think.
We don't need to cover every single game. We can just cover the general gist of what happened over these six games.
I can sum it up pretty quick, honestly.
Yeah.
I can give you a very quick breakdown here.
Go
Ready
for it.
This, Tom?
Yes. I missed these.
Opening day, pure depression. Yankees bats do not wake up. We see a little bit of what we expected. And Cole, of course, pitching to 5.1 innings pitch, 2 earned runs, 8 Ks in the bullpen. Absolutely filthy as usual. Chad Green, 1.2 innings pitch. Loaisiga, 1 inning pitch. O'Day, 1. And Nelson at the end of the game. Neither of them, not any of those relievers gave up a single run. Carrot Gold
gave up earned run, you mean?
Earned run. Correct. Yes. I forgot. We had the bullshit.
Yeah.
Nick Nelson run. Yes. Yeah.
Poor guy.
Again.
Yeah.
Play real baseball. Bang. Now,
stupid rule.
Yankees lose 3-2.
3-2. Second game of the season. Yankees get the dub. It wasn't pretty, but they got the dub. Got a couple bloopers to drive in the runs off of the bats of. Actually, I forgot. We had the Gary Sanchez dinger. Got to note that one. That was not a.
Which one?
Ha ha! Ha ha! This was off of Ross Stripling, so that was a fun one.
Yes, it was.
Yes. DJ LeMahieu had his bloop single. At first I thought you were going to say something. You didn't. Kind of threw me off. I was like, wait, you're talking?
Oh, I talk a lot, but that was not the time.
Yeah. LeMahieu had a little blooper to third base. That drove in a run. Aaron Hicks had a little ball that didn't even get through the infield, right to the second baseman. That drove in a run. And Jay Bruce, he hit a legit blooper into left field, and that drove the last run. So the Yankees score 5 runs, mostly on bloopers. And that was enough to win the game. And Corey Kluber. Yes, Corey Kluber. Look at our guy. 4 innings pitched, 5 strikeouts. Walked a few guys, 3 walks. But you know what? He hasn't pitched in 2 years. Give the guy a break. He looked awesome, all things considered. And the bullpen, again, 1 earned run only from the pen. And that was Lucas Litke in his first game. In how many years? 5, I think.
5 years. Congratulations, 5 years. Lucas.
Yes, congrats to Lucas Litke on that game. Good for him. I hope he sticks around. And, of course, great job from Loaisiga, O'Day, and Chad Green. Now
that's going to be a common theme.
Yes, it is. Game 3. The return of Chappie, even though he didn't pitch
return
in that game.
Return of the Chap.
But he was reinstated after his suspension, so he was eligible to pitch, and the Yankees lost this game, so he didn't even get a chance to pitch. Losing 3-1, the bats again go ice cold. Domingo Germán pitched in the game, and he did not look good. 3 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 2 strikeouts, 2 homers given up. Not what you wanted, and you know what? It just goes to show you, spring training stats do not matter.
Ouch. They don't?
They don't.
They don't.
Did you know that?
Well, now I do.
Now you do. And then after that, Michael King pitching 6 innings. Man, that dude was a hero in that game, man. We lost, but he kept us in it the whole way. Props to him. I hope he deserves to get a chance to start one day. Maybe not here, but he might get a chance somewhere, I think. He's very solid. I like him a lot.
He's a reliever.
Me too.
We'll see.
He's a reliever.
That's the end of that first series, and the Yankees again won only 1 out of 3. So they go into this next series 1-2.
God damn it!
Oh yeah, that's pretty much what we were saying the whole time.
Yeah.
Now that Baltimore. Offense, this was a fun game.
Oh yeah.
Yankees win 7-0. The first display of the Yankees' offensive dominance this year. Aaron Judge goes deep. Stanton hits a grand slam. The bats overall just came alive, and it was glorious. And you got to give a shout-out to my boy, Gumby. 6 innings pitched, 7 strikeouts, and my God, this guy's looking like a playoff pitcher. Number 3 starter? Question mark. I think he might be. And then after that, you got Luis Sessa pitching 2 innings, not giving up any runs. Shocker. And then Aroldis Chapman making his debut on the season, showing off that splitter and striking out the side. Too good, man. Too good.
Yankees win.
Yankees win 7-0. It's fun. Good times in Yankees land.
The good times roll, too.
Let the good times roll. 2-2 now. Go into this game, and guess what? The Yankees win again. 7-2. Another 7 spot. How'd we get those runs? Tom, ask me how we got those runs.
How did we get those runs?
Jay Bruce hit a dinger to lead off that game for the Yankees with the run.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Jay. He porch-jobbed that one. After that, you had a ground out from LeMahieu to drive in a run. Aaron Judge with a nice little single. Stanton with a double. And Aaron Judge with another home run that probably ended up hurting his side. But you know what? It was fun for a moment.
Rounding the bases, it hurt.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? It was a bomb, and the Yankees looked really good that game, so it was good vibes. And you know what? Another shout-out here to the pitching, Gerrit Cole.
Gerrit Allen.
Dominant.
Of the Yankees. 7 innings pitched, 13 strikeouts, 1.46 ERA on the season, looking dominant as ever. Quite possibly his best regular season start as a Yankee. It was pretty epic.
Correct.
And going after him, we had Chad Green and Lucas Litke. Again, he did not do that great at the end of the game, but you know what? We had a bullshit call at first base. The guy was out. Replay fucked it up. I'm not going to...
Flavor kind of loafed a little bit. Yeah. Little loaf. Little
it
loaf.
It shouldn't have been close, but...
Not a big loaf. A little loaf.
Yeah, a little one.
Medium-sized loaf.
Licky looks okay regardless.
Yeah. I'm not worried about Licky.
Me neither. Yankees go into this last game 3-2. It was all good vibes going in. High hopes with Tyone making his Yankees debut. You got Boy and Jake taking drinks for every K. And my God, they were drunk as a skunk by the end of that one. This guy struck out 7 batters over 4.2 innings pitched. And you know what? On a limited pitch count, that was pretty good. Two earned runs only. He did great. I am very pleased with Tyone. Nick Nelson did awesome, too. The whole bullpen, again, not one run given up by the pen. It was a combo of Nick Nelson for 1.1 innings pitched, Darren O'Day for 1, Loaisiga for 1, Chapman for 1, Chad Green for 1.1, and Luis Sessa for 0.2. And let me rephrase, no earned runs, actually. I forget.
Now, Luke, I do have a question.
Yeah.
Did we win this game?
Oh, we should have.
This sounds really good. This sounds really good. You're saying all good things. Did we win, though?
No, we did not. And you want to know why?
Oh, my God.
Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because we can't hit with the runners in scoring position, Tom.
God,
we can't do it. We can't do it.
Why does God hate us?
You know what's scary?
How many hits do we have?
13.
We had like 13, yes.
13
was not our lucky number.
Do you know how many Baltimore had?
6, right?
No.
5.
4!
4! Oh, no. Math is my least favorite subject.
4! Oh, it was so frustrating the whole way, man. The only guy, I mean, we couldn't do anything right that game. It was so, so frustrating, and we deserved to lose. I'll be honest. The pitchers, they did their job. The hitters, they got to step up, man. The bats need to bail them out for once because they cannot be forced to have perfect games every day. That's the reality of it. It's not fair to the pitchers. So the Yankees wrap up that series winning 2 of 3, and they are 3-3 on the season, third place right now behind Boston and the Orioles.
Season's over. Pack it up.
you already got Jared Carrabba saying, you know, Red Sox are sneaky good this year, man. We're ahead of the Yankees. And I'm just like,
we do not think they're good either.
Okay. All right.
All right, guys. I got to say something about the lineup now.
Oh.
Well, you've been too quiet, Eddie.
Number one, Gary Sanchez gave me a little bit of false hope the first two games. You know, I guess he's been a little better, but.
No, he's looking okay.
I'm at the point where expectations are going to stay low until this way too early in the season. He's been okay, but I need consistent through, let's say, the end of April. If he's not doing horribly, then I'll get a little optimistic with him. But I think out of anyone, he has, like, the most to prove and the shortest leash. Like, for example, Stanton, it was frustrating at first, but nothing to worry about. I mean, injuries, as you said, is the only thing to worry about with him. I don't really worry about his production. But Gary, we said it before the season, he's on a short leash. But, you know, it hasn't been that bad.
He's doing good so far, actually. Yeah. He's batting .278. He has a 1.017 OPS, two home runs. I mean, he's looking good so far. You know, if you told me he's batting .278 at the end of the season, I'd kiss you. I would kiss you.
Yeah, I mean, that would be incredible.
Imagine that.
Ew.
Wait,
that would be incredible.
Nothing.
Oh, wow, you weren't there. Okay.
It would just catch me off guard, I'm just saying.
Well, you know what?
Hopefully he bats .279, so this doesn't happen.
Oh, man, I don't know, man. I might have to do it regardless, but we'll see.
Damn it. What if he hits .300?
If he is 300, we're going to see some unspeakable things.
Oh, my God. All right, moving on.
We're getting weird in Yankees land here.
This is what 3-3 does to you.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it does to you. You know what? We are facing a cold Rays team, which places some optimism on me, I must say.
Yep.
I'm superstitious, so I'm actually scared shitless.
I'm only a little stitious. And I'm, you know,
I
don't like playing at the Trop at all.
No, the Trop sucks. I will agree. No one likes playing there, but the Rays just lost four in a row, and looking at their pitching, I'm not scared. We're facing Rich Hill in the first game against Corey Kluber. Rich Hill is not good.
Oh, Rich Hill.
He's Take not Mountain?
Good. Rich Hill pitched for the Yankees?
No.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
He did?
Yes,
oh,
he did.
You're right. He did.
Before he became good.
It was brief, but yes.
Very brief.
Okay,
I
knew I wasn't crazy.
I'm going to guess he pitched for us in 2014. That's my guess.
I can 2014, I called
it. Oh, wow.
Yeah, good guess.
2014, I called it. He also pitched for the Angels that year.
I mean, I think we all know the Yankees are going to I don't want to be that guy because the offense has been so inconsistent, but I expect them to crush Rich Hill. I'm going to be honest.
I think so, too.
Because you're talking about a soft-throwing lefty. Like,
right.
The hitters love that stuff. Like, that is right up their alley. If anything's going to get them confident, it's going to be that. And Corey
Kluber.
Seems
like a good Stanton bomb guy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We're going to see a Stanton bomb. I'll bet money on that right now. But Corey Kluber, too, pitching with less pitch count restraints this time. I'm very excited to see that. I would love to get a nice 5-6 inning outing out of him, but we'll see. I just want to see some improvement. That's all. And second game of the season, we're going to have Domingo Herman. Yikes. Let's hope he improves a little bit.
Yeah.
Another shitty pitcher. Chris Archer, former Ray, makes his return, and so far, not so pretty.
Not good.
He is not a guy that scares me even a little bit. I know we can crush him. And Domingo Herman, you know what? He is very inconsistent. He always has been. He has his rough outings. He has a stellar outing. So, you know what? He had a shitty outing. So, now I'm going to assume he's going to have a great outing. So, that's how it works with him.
Superstitious.
A little stitious.
Yeah.
I'm a lot stitious. I'm going to be honest.
By the way, guys, the Rays are at 20% capacity, but, you know, basically 100.
Wow.
Had to go there when I saw 9,000 fans. I literally think that's the actual attendance when it is 100% open. It's not much more than that.
I just caught what you meant by that. And
That
was they didn't need to catch that stray. They've been going through enough.
Yeah,
it's a hideous stadium, too. It's disgusting.
I hear that bothers me to watch a game.
I mean, just even a new stadium in Tampa would do. Like, just it's terrible. It literally hurts my eyes. It's just a weird, big white. Like, I can't even explain what's going on there. But when you hit the ball to the roof and those seven different rules that you have, if you hit it to this one, then it's an out, and then it's a home run. It's just stupid.
The thing is that it's almost impossible to, like, get to because, like, there's, like, this bridge that you have to go over to get to it and shit. And then, like, on top of it, the ballpark's a shithole. And on top of that, like, the team never pays their good players. So, like, it's a bad combo if you want to have a long, you know, committed fan base that's actually, like, a diehard. So, the Rays are like the team where, like, when your favorite team gets eliminated, like, that you go and root for just because you want to see, like, the Yankees lose. Like, then you become a Rays fan. So.
They're a sad franchise, and you know what? I'm going to make them sadder because we're going to sweep them. I'm saying it right now. We're going to sweep them.
Oh,
we are going to pull out the brooms because they suck. We want revenge. We want revenge bad. This team shit on us so much last year. Yankees are going in mad. You know, Judge is hurt. This team is ready to kick some fucking ass, and I'm ready for it. I'm here for it. And you know what? We got Monty pitching the third game of the series against to be determined. Not sure who that guy is, but sounds like a loser to me, so I'm sure we're fine.
Yeah, you know, obviously with Aaron Judge healthy, Gleyber Torres playing gold glove defense at short, I think we're going to have a lovely series.
No, I'll say 2 out of 3. I'll say 2 out of 3 because, I mean, I don't know who's pitching against us on Sunday. Is Glasnow healthy right now?
It might be Michael Wacha.
Oh, I forgot he was even on the Rays.
Yeah,
he had a spring where people were like, "Oh, he's back." I don't know if he's pitched the season yet.
He had a bad
first
start, if I remember.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Rich Hill, Chris Archer, and then TBD on Sunday. So they'll probably do an opener or some shit, and then we'll get fucking 2 hit.
Could be Michael Wacha. They have a few options there, but probably not. It's not gonna be Glasnow though.
He pitched on the 6th.
Who?
Glasnow. Walker pitched 5 innings and gave up 4 runs.
Oh,
five
Sunday.
Runs, 4 earned. Yeah, I think it's – no, wait. No, I'm not sure. I don't think he'll pitch, but, yeah, he's good. 2 out of 3. I'm not gonna go too crazy. Let the offense
I'm going crazy.
Wrong first, and then I'll be more optimistic after.
At the very least, win the series.
Yeah, you can't lose the series. I mean, you can lose the series. I just don't want them to.
I'm
not going to be like, this is a must-win. Just
I just have so much faith in our pitching right now. Like, I really do, and I believe our starters, outside of Herman. And that's not even short sample. Like, I'm a little half and half on him. Because he's always been inconsistent. He's always given up homers. That was what he was when he was good. Like, that's just the way it was. He had some crazy good starts. I mean, I saw him strike out like 10 plus guys in person at the stadium, and I was wowed by him. But I've also seen him give up God knows how many home runs in a single game, a single inning, let alone a single game. So we're going to have to see what we get there. But I would not be shocked if he is not there the whole season, honestly. I think the Yankees are going to explore a few different options there if he starts slow, because they can afford to. They have a lot of pitchers they can fool around with in that fifth spot.
You know, I'm excited. That's all I have to say. I'm excited.
I'm pretty excited, too. You know what I have to say? I have something very important to say.
Sure.
I am excited about Odor right now.
with our history with hitters, I mean,
he's got power. I mean, there's tools there you can work with, and I'm not going to lie. If someone told me, would you rather have Odor start in the lineup over Jay Bruce, I would probably say start Odor.
Think about this for 1 second, though. Hear me out before you judge it. Hear me out. Just hear me out. Okay? Just talking defense first, before we even get to the offensive side of things. Would you rather see Jay Bruce at first and DJ at second, or Odor at second, who's been actually a solid defender at second base for his entire career, and DJ at first, who's a pretty good first baseman, honestly, but definitely better than Bruce, given the issues we've had with Torres at short in his throws?
I like Odor's power upside. He's going to be at the bottom of the lineup.
How about instead of playing Bruce or Odor, we shoot ourselves in the head and never have to watch either of them play baseball ever again?
I think that you have no idea what you're talking about. I'm going to be perfectly honest.
I think that both of these players are god awful and I want them off of the Yankees.
I think that you have unrealistic expectations given Voight.
What do you think my expectations are?
I don't know what they are, but the fact that you hate Bruce that much, given
I like his defense more than I like his offense.
Given the injury to Voight, your expectations should be very low.
No.
Yeah.
You know what I expect?
What?
I expect around league average hitting with competent fielding. And I've got incompetent fielding from Jay Bruce, but he has a 620 OPS right now. So I haven't, and I'm not getting the bat. And the home run he hit, let's not forget. It was a porch job with like a 220 expected batting average. He got lucky. He had a lucky homer. So he's blowing chunks right now, and I'm not very happy with the bat. Now,
there is a lot of reason to believe that his numbers will get better, I will say.
What can you please tell me? Well, one thing I do like is his 89th percentile walk percentage.
Exactly what I was going to
I do like that, and you know, he doesn't strike out too much. He's around league average with the strikeout percentage as well, and he's good with the chase rate.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's enough there for me to see that he can easily put together a good stretch of games. Like, if he's even hitting okay for like what Bruce is, given how much he's gonna walk and how much and the kind of at bats he's usually gonna have, because he's been having pretty good at bats. I'm not gonna lie.
Yes, gun to my head, I'm picking Bruce.
And Odor, he is at least somebody I'm open to trying, because the defense at second is not bad. You get to have DJ at first, who's an improvement over Bruce defensively. And the offensive output, while it could be worse, and there's no guarantee in that, though, it's worth trying to strengthen the defense a little bit. And if the Yankees truly believe in Odor, which I think they do, honestly, I think they didn't just trade for him for no reason. They gave up prospects for him. They gave up actual prospects for 2 years of him for no pay. That tells me he's part of their plan. Not just for this year,
And I'm saying they're idiots for having them be a part of the plan.
And I think you're an idiot.
I think I'm an idiot too, but not in this
good
case.
I'm going to be honest. Until you actually see this dude play and see what the Yankees might see in him, there's no reason to shit on them, because everyone thought Gio Urshela was going to be nothing too. No one thought he was going to be a good hitter. People thought he was going to be a defensive replacement at most.
Roof mid Odor last year. I'm looking at this baseball.
Yes, we all know
profile.
He sucked.
I know
year.
It was bad.
We
it was bad.
Ten, we tenth, all know.
10th percentile average exit velocity, 20th percentile hard hit percentage, 9th percentile xWOBA, 5th percentile expected batting average, 8th percentile K percentage, and 7th percentile walk percentage, and he was a 24th percentile outs above average defender.
Can I add something to this?
Yeah, he's really bad.
May I add something?
He had 10 home runs last year in 38
games. I don't
give
a dry shit.
That's a 42 home run pace.
I'm adding something right now. I'm adding
17 Chris Carter, who plays second base.
Tom? Hey, Tom?
Yes.
2019 wasn't that long ago, right?
Don't even do it.
I'm doing it. 2019 was only 2 years ago.
Yeah. And if you look at the metrics, there was some good stuff there. The average exit velocity was 83rd.
Yes, he hit the ball really hard.
I'm talking.
He just
strikes
out fucking other at bat.
I'm talking.
Has a 7% expected batting average. Okay.
And his outs above average. What were they?
How about
80th percentile?
Hey, 2018 wasn't that long ago, right?
It's a little bit longer. You're talking 3 years now. You're pushing
it. Just cranking it back.
2020 was last year, so
we're stretching it now.
Fluke, he played 38 games last year.
Sucks. He's a bad baseball player.
The Rangers
called him up too early.
Hey, Tom.
They never developed him. They never taught him plate discipline.
Hey, Tom.
His defense has been inconsistent best, and he sucks.
Yes. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how are you doing?
Remember how you said 2020 meant nothing? That applies to everybody, you jackass. Yeah. So clearly, Odor.
2020 meant something.
No,
meant
you told me it
meant.
Nothing.
It doesn't mean much.
It means little to nothing.
I mean, when you're as bad as Rufnet Odor, it means something. And when you're as bad as Gary Sanchez, it meant something.
Christian Yelich had a pretty shitty year in 2020.
Yeah,
I guess
Christian
he sucks
Yelich,
too, right?
A year ago, he was almost the MVP. Gary Sanchez had 230 the year before.
Nope.
Okay. So, my God, it does mean something. The games count.
Odor was actually not that horrible in 2019.
Okay.
Yeah, be honest, Tom.
He had a 7th percentile expected batting average.
Tell me right now. I want to ask you right now, Tom. Yeah. If you can get the same output that he had in 2019 to replace Jay Bruce in the fucking lineup.
Jay Bruce.
That is a no-brainer.
That
kind of player
Here's what I would say.
A 30 home run bat on the bench. If you say no to that, you are brainless.
Here's what I will say.
What?
If you can guarantee me that he has that year in replacing Jay Bruce, I will take him over Jay Bruce.
Yeah, no shit.
Thank you. I'm glad we're in agreement.
And keep in mind,
I mean, that's his last full season too.
Let's not pretend that's the only year he's hit 30 home runs. He's done it three times.
You want to know what's funny?
What?
You want to know something funny?
I love funny things.
I'm looking at the batted ball profile of Rufnet Odor, and you know who's the most similar batter to Rufnet Odor?
Please tell. This is gonna be funny.
It's Jay Bruce.
Is it actually?
It's actually
that
2016 Jay Bruce.
That's pretty awesome.
That is actually amazing.
Yep.
Wait, what year Jay Bruce?
2016.
How do you do in 2016?
Probably. Was he good?
He 33 home runs, 815 OPS.
Oh my God, he actually had a good year.
Bruce was just so nice. We had to have him twice, basically.
Yeah, we got two. We managed to get two Jay Bruces. Nice.
You see, my biggest problem with the Odor thing is not getting Odor. It's the fact that you didn't do this earlier. Because you spent money on Jay Bruce and you're never getting it back. And
how much was it for Bruce? It wasn't much, right?
It was like a million bucks. 1.5, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
And it doesn't sound like a ton, but keep in mind, we probably are like $3 million under the tax right now.
Right.
So like every dollar counts right now.
Jay Bruce has a 20% walk rate right now.
Bang.
That's funny.
And also we have Dietrich, and to clarify, if the Yankees see something in Odor that they don't see in Dietrich, you know, I get it then. I'm gonna trust their scouting department because they have yet to fail on a position player. In a real experiment, at least.
Andrews Morales.
I said a real experiment.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah, he doesn't count. The real experiments are like Luke Voigt, Talkman, Gio Urshela. Like, those are experiments that have panned out fairly well so far. They've made guys that were seemingly valueless into valuable players, and they've been very good. They've been legit major league players. And looking at Odor, I don't see a reason to think that he at least can't become a good player, because he's shown glimpses of being that good player. And it's not like he's old either. I mean, I saw a couple people say, we really just got rid of Tyro Estrada for Odor. And I'm like, you realize Estrada's like 25, 26 years old, right? 24. Odor's 27. He's 2 years older. So, like,
he's 25. Wow.
Yeah. And he has a proven MLB track record. So you're telling me you'd rather have Estrada, a career minor league player, over Odor, who's 2 years older and has actually hit 30 home runs three times? No.
Don't disrespect our Lord and Savior, Tyro Estrada, please.
I just did. The young prince.
No, he's right. I agree with Luke.
If you go into Tyro Estrada's Wikipedia and you go under personal life, it details the story of him getting shot in a robbery attempt in Venezuela.
What an odd detail, but I'm interested to hear that.
So this man can take a bullet, but he can't take a spot on the 40 man?
No, he can't. He can't.
I just got to say something that I read, because it's just so ironic since we're talking about Odor and just defense. After the 2010 season, Baseball America named Eduardo Nunez the best defensive infielder in the Yankees organization.
Wow.
Baseball America.
Woo.
That's a miss.
And best infield arm, too.
Well, I can see why they like the arm, because he had good arm strength. He just didn't have good arm accuracy, and that's important. Gleyber. We didn't even talk about Gleyber yet, by the way.
We did.
Not enough.
Okay, well, Gleyber can't throw a baseball.
We need to get into this. All right, so we're going to pivot.
Oh, you know what? There's a couple fun questions I can ask about Gleyber here.
Ask me these questions, Luke. Ask me these questions.
So, let's be realistic about the Gleyber situation here. We all know he's having his defensive issues. He's been having them
Let's not call them issues. Let's call them problems.
Wow. Same thing, but okay.
No, wrong.
Defensive problems. Google would disagree. Anyway, moving on. The defensive problems have not been ideal. And with that said, people want change. And my question to those people, including you two, for at least this year, not even talking about the offseason, 2021, what realistic change can be made? Because in my opinion, there is no realistic change that can be made, because you're not going to take Luke Voit's bat out of the lineup to improve the defense. I heard Michael Kay suggest that, and I said no. Actually, not Kay. I mean, I'm Don LaGreca on the Michael Kay show, and I was like, no, you're not taking Voit's bat out to put in Tyler Wade at shortstop, which is what he suggested. Or taking out Gio Urshela, who is a stellar at third base.
Joel Sherman wanted to take out Giancarlo for Tyler Wade in the playoffs.
That's like the same energy right there. Mm-hmm. And the other funky idea, which was DJ LeMahieu to third and Gio Urshela the shortstop and Gleyber the second, DJ the first. And no, wait, Voit stays at first. And I hated it. I hate that one so much. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. But what do you two think about that?
The most enticing option for me is to put Gio at shortstop full time, like the Reds are doing with Eugenio Suarez.
I don't know, dog.
But like, even that doesn't really tickle the pickle for me.
And you know, I would say that it's not even that I have no faith in Gio at short, because I actually do believe he'd handle it well. It's not that at all. I just think he's so much more valuable at third base, and DJ LeMahieu is so much more valuable at second base. So you're devaluing the defensive value of two players to satisfy the needs of one player, who even Gleyber, he's not a guarantee to be a good defender at second base either, in my opinion. I'm going to be honest. Like, that's not a guarantee.
You know, he's no guarantee to be good at second base, like you said. But I think he can make routine throws from second base.
The throws will be less of an issue.
And like, that's the main issue right now, is the, because most of the time he gets to the ball, but then he takes a step and then just chucks it into the dirt.
But even if Gleyber is an average defender, you're still going to be getting worse at two positions out of three, and that bothers me. It just bothers me. I'd rather keep those two the same. And so for me, I'd rather, going to be honest, sucks. But I'd rather sit down and pray for Glaber to get better than rearrange the entire infield like that. That's just not my style.
The most ideal scenario is him being a good shortstop.
Of course. That is what we're all hoping for. And I think the mm-hmm. Yankees are going to be hoping for that all year. And they are not going to rearrange their infield just for Glaber. I don't think, at least. As for the offseason, whole different story there. But people saying trade for Trevor Story, you're dreaming. It's not happening. Don't even think about it.
Yeah, I can't see them adding money. I think, like, they're not adding that much money. And, like, the reason they're not adding that much money is potentially to sign a shortstop if this really continues to be bad. And then, obviously, like, I think Voit would be the odd man out.
It's so tough for me.
Yeah.
You can make an equal argument for him and Gio, honestly. Like, you can make a fair argument for either.
I'm a fan of defense more than offense.
I get it. If Voit was like an 850 OPS guy, I'd be right in line with you for guaranteed. But the dude is a 900 OPS guy that's gonna hit 30 to 40 home runs, and that makes it so hard. Like I cannot make that choice. If the Yankees have to make that choice, I feel horrible for them.
Well, think about the guy you're replacing Voit with. The shortstop you're signing. Like all of those shortstop, the potential shortstops, the Trevor Stories, the Corey Seagers, those guys can have, you know, 900 OPS seasons with good defense, you know?
No, that's true.
So, like, you're just replacing a 900 OPS guy with below-average defense with a 900 OPS guy with good defense. So
I just love Voit so much. And I feel like it would look so bad.
It would look really bad.
Like, if you're playing for the Yankees, and let's say, like, you have a really good chemistry with all the guys, and you find out that they had to rearrange the entire team because one fucking player on the team just couldn't fucking throw a baseball, and they had to trade away one of their best players for that reason, even if you're bringing a good one in, that could fuck up a team a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Like, if I was in that scenario, it would fuck with me a bit. I'd be kind of pissed.
Hashtag blame Glaber.
Glaber.
I mean, if we were getting an average shortstop, I would say, obviously not, but I wouldn't really be that upset if you enticed me with Corey Seager or Trevor Story. Like, it doesn't really, it improves the infield defense. The offense is, I mean, depends who you're losing. He's generally one of the guys that I trust the most with the Yankees front office.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, me too.
I think it will be Seager if they do go after a shortstop, by the way.
I would agree with that.
Because lefty bat doesn't strike out much.
Big.
Good defense.
Yep.
Lineup balance, yada, 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 playoff experience. He's got it all. Trevor Story does strike out quite a bit, so I think that might turn them off. And he's
I prefer Seager for sure, but my question becomes, do you honestly see Steinbrenner giving Seager a 12-year, $350-plus million deal?
I
want to ask you very honestly, because that's what the contract is going to be. He's going to be getting more than Lindor, because Lindor set the market. And if Seager has a big year, like I'm talking like a 900,000 OPS year after last year, where we had a 900 OPS in a 60-game season, which was his highest ever, then you're going to be talking maybe close to 400, honestly. Like, it's going to be in play.
You know, we got to remember the CBA stuff as well.
Oh, I know. It's a factor, of course. But my point is, he's going to be making a lot of money one way or another.
Also, remember, we're going to be resetting the tax this year. So we won't have any penalties next year if we want to play that game again.
No, it's true. It's just something to consider because after this, you're still going to have... You're going to be a year away from Judge, Severino, and Gary Sanchez all hitting free agency.
I can't see Sanchez being signed.
I would agree. I'm just pointing it out.
Yeah, I can't, but, like, it's difficult, you know. Obviously, I don't mean to be, like, a water boy for the owner, because this man makes billions upon billions. But I don't think you're ever going to have a $400 million payroll, and you'll be closing in on that. So, probably not. I think somehow Seager ends up back with the Dodgers. I just think, like, the Yankees might make a run.
I've been thinking about Judge, and I know no one's comfortable giving him a deal, including myself, but I have a theory. The Yankees love to play games. We know this. They love to play their little games, and I think they're going to be playing one with Judge next year, because they are going to have every bit of leverage, and they know that. The dude has struggled to stay on the field, and he may be the face of New York, but I don't think any team would offer Judge a 7-year, $30 million a year deal right now. Like, I don't think any team would. It's too risky right now. So my question is, did the Yankees try to lowball him with an extension offer? And does he actually consider it given his issues? I think they might try.
You know what I would do? What? I would offer him the George Springer contract right now.
What was that again?
6 for $150. George Springer contract.
Yeah. I don't really want 6 years right now on the payroll for a guy who still has not proven any sort of health. Like, it's just...
Like I said, I'd consider, but it depends.
It only takes him to his mid-30s instead of his late-30s, so...
But it's also $25 million locked up on a guy that...
$25 million on a guy that plays 100 games and puts up, you know, five WAR, which is well worth that, well worth $25 million a year. So, I would do it. I'm smart sometimes.
The only thing is, I keep thinking about it. Like, let's say we get rid of Judge. I'm just trying to go there for a second. What the hell does the outfield become at that point?
Becomes the Clint show, baby.
I mean, you're talking Clinton left. Honestly, you could consider even moving Clint to right full time, hypothetically, if that were to happen, because he seems more comfortable in right than left, honestly.
Yeah, you could maybe something. You try to put Stanton out there one day again, and then that opens up DH for, like, Voit, and maybe you sign a shortstop.
That's scary.
And then, like, yeah. But, like, let's not think about that.
Yeah, we don't need to go there too much.
Cause I don't feel like getting depressed, you know. It's my dude. Love Judge. Let's hope the general soreness. Let's hope the general soreness is just general soreness. You know, I'm okay with him missing, you know, let's say 25 games and having him play 135 games. Just don't fucking miss 60 games like he did this year. I mean, the past few years.
Judge is not going to play more than 110 games. I'm calling it right now.
I disagree.
Wow.
I disagree.
You have faith.
Yes. I do have faith.
I do not.
Maybe it's blind faith.
It could be. Could be.
Eddie, what do you think?
I'll say a little under 110. I think there's a deal coming
soon.
Nobody cares
what you think.
I'm sorry, it's not what you wanted to hear, but I feel a DL stint coming. Maybe by the time people are listening to this, Judge will already be on the DL. Think about that. IL. Damn it. I keep forgetting. It's always going to be the DL. Judge will be on the IL by the time people are listening.
Eddie, you have no idea what you just did.
What did I do?
Broke my heart.
Spoke the truth.
I'm sorry. Oh.
Sorry.
How Eddie Sapienza broke me.
You know what? He broke you because Judge is broken. So, it's the reality of it.
Well, that just hurts.
It does, but I hate to say, you know how much I love Judge, man. I've been supporting this guy since he was in the minors. I've always loved him. And I hope he manages to figure this out, but I just can't be that optimistic with the guy right now. He hasn't had a full year since 2017. You know how long ago that is? That's crazy.
What was that Royals pitcher name that hit him?
I don't remember, actually.
Jacob Junis.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That was Junis?
Yes, it was.
Jacob Junis broke Aaron Judge.
And Aaron Judge's oblique and calf also contributed to that.
Yeah.
I hate this. I hate this conversation we're having.
Anyway, moving on.
Why must you break me?
I guess we'll have to wait and see what the verdict is on Judge, but it'll be coming sooner rather than later, and I honestly think we're going to get it tomorrow, one way or another. If he's going on the IL, I think we're going to find out tomorrow.
I disagree. You don't want to know why? Because the Yankees always play these little games where they're like, day-to-day, day-to-day.
Oh, no, they like to play those games. I just have a feeling tomorrow's going to be the day. I could be wrong. I'm going with my gut on that one.
I don't trust them. I don't trust them. They always fucking do this shit, man. It's like, just fucking put him on the 10-day and just...
No,
like,
one way or another, he's not playing tomorrow. I can guarantee that. Yeah.
No, everyone knows he's not playing tomorrow. When Aaron Boone said, it's too early to tell.
Yeah, that means no.
That's like code for no.
That's like you know, when your girlfriend says, you know, hey, you know, I'll think about it. No, that means you're not thinking about it. That's no.
She is not thinking about it, and she is considering breaking up with you. Ouch. So, but I wouldn't know. I've never had a girlfriend. So
double ouch. Wow, we went there. Okay.
Yeah. Well, this podcast has.
Yeah, this had a lot of twists and turns today. Wow.
This podcast is. This is definitely one of our better episodes.
We fought about a door. That was fun.
Not enough Eddie though. So I'm gonna need Eddie to start talking.
Eddie, say something.
I'm taking it all in. Say something. Pick a topic. Do something.
Okay.
Do a card trick. Oh wait, I can't see it. That's kind of useless. Never mind.
What have we not gotten to so far? We talked about the rotation.
Shit,
the
we can go back on a topic. Just pick something, Eddie. We need you here.
Let me think. I'm trying to think of somebody that we can somebody address. To love.
Did we talk about Tyon?
Yeah, we did.
I have something we can do. Okay. What about this?
Go for it.
We all give our player of the week.
You know what? I like that.
Yeah, let's do a player of the week. Let's have some fun here, all right?
Eddie goes first, though.
Yeah, Eddie, you go Hold first. On. Give us your player of the week.
I'm thinking about it.
Take your time.
I want to say Judge because he was so good in the Orioles series up until he was out. And he was just like, he was great. I mean, yeah, by default, I'm going to say Judge. I was thinking about Cole too because he had a great outing.
That's a respectable pick. That's a very respectable pick.
But I'm going to go Judge.
I can take it. Oh man, putting me on the spot here. All right.
Wrong.
This is I got to go with the bold one, I think. I don't want to be boring and say Gerrit Cole. I can't. I am going to go with my man Jordan Montgomery. I love me some Jordan, man. I am so into him. I have always loved him, and I think he's going to play such a big role this year. And this was the first step. This was the first step because last year we saw some inconsistencies with him, but we saw a lot of glimpses of a number three starter. And in the postseason, he came up big for us, man, and he picked up right where he left off, pitching six innings with seven strikeouts. And I really think that if he stays healthy, he's going to be right around that 3.5, 3.6 ERA. Like, I believe in him that much, and I would not be shocked if he ends up, again, being in that playoff rotation for us. And that's with all the names there, like Cole, Kluber, Tyone, and Seve. So if he breaks in, that's pretty significant.
For me, my answers are usually the ones that are always right. So I'm going to pick two guys.
Oh, I think I know who you're picking. I know exactly who you're picking.
I make the rules. One, Giancarlo Stanton.
Okay.
Deserves some love. He's hitting the shit out of the ball. Had a nice RBI double, obviously, at the Grand Slam. You know, his at-bats have looked tremendous in recent days. And then B is obviously, we got to give it to Garrett Cole, obviously. I mean, God, he struck out 13 guys, 7 innings. He gave up one ball that was classified as hard hit. One.
That's now, pretty good.
So he's like in like the 88th percentile in like expected ERA and like expected ex-WOBA now because of that one start. It just like, it shot up all of his numbers. And, you know, he's got like a FIP under 2 as well.
So I think I'm going to give an honorable mention.
Oh, go for it.
I'm going to give an honorable mention to Jonathan Loaisiga, man.
Oh, yes.
He has been so fucking good. And I like right now, he is the reliever I think is going to break out the most out of all of the young breakout relievers. Like, he looks phenomenal. And the metrics, too. Oh, my God. I mean, guess what he is in expected batting average, Tom? Give it a guess.
5th percentile.
Wow. That's not good.
I'm sorry. I was thinking backwards. 95th percentile.
95th?
Yeah.
99th.
Holy tits on a bowl.
Expected ERA. Give it a guess.
97th?
99th.
Oh, my God.
Expected WOBA.
Do I have to guess this one?
You do.
97th?
99th again!
Just keep guessing 99.
And finally, expected slugging.
99.
Yes, 97. Daddy, you got the pattern.
Wait, he's 99th in everything?
For those four, at least? Yeah.
Jesus, Jonathan.
I know. And for K percentage, he's 89th. Average exit velocity, he's 79th. His walk percentage, he's 78th. I mean, it's all good.
Well, goddamn.
Yeah, he's just attacking hitters, man. He's not fooling around this year.
I feel a little stupid, but I'm okay with it. Chapman was great as well, but he only threw like 2 games, so.
Yeah, that's why I didn't give him the.
Can't really give him any juice.
But
by the way, nice job, Sessa. By the way, nice job last night with the two big strikeouts.
Sessa. I am very thrilled to say he is our worst pitcher. That's a great worst pitcher to have.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to see the Chris Capuanos of the world anymore. Like, they're out.
Yep.
So, I think that about wraps it up. Do you guys have any finishing thoughts?
You know, I rarely have thoughts, mostly because when I do, they're dumb.
Okay.
So, but I do have some thoughts. I'm going to say some thoughts.
Okay.
So here are my thoughts.
Are they dumb?
Most likely. Okay. We need to hit better.
Okay, that's true.
Especially with Boyd and Judge out. B, Clint and Bruce, do something towards the bottom of that order. C, Gary, keep hitting the ball hard. You're doing well. D.
Oh, wow.
Need the pitching to continue.
Are there more letters?
E.
Oh.
Don't get swept. At least don't get swept. That's like that's like worst case scenario.
That was good.
Just don't get swept.
We went A through E.
And F for finally.
Oh, F.
Yeah, F for finally, dude.
This is exciting.
Everyone knows this.
Oh, wow.
Go Yankees.
Wow. Oh, dude, that was a missed opportunity.
Well, what did I miss?
You could have said F finally and then G, go Yankees.
Son of a bitch.
Damn it, Tom. That would have been perfect.
I'm not a forward thinker, man.
You know, Eddie, do you have anything now? Tom just upset me a bit, but you can talk.
Yeah.
Tom upset Tom a bit.
Good.
That was a missed opportunity.
I know. This is bad.
Let's get out of the turf with no injuries. Stanton please. Specifically.
Oh, I've got. By the way, I'm alarmed
with him.
I've got one now. Well, H, hit with runners in scoring position.
There you go.
All right. Now I feel so much better. Eddie?
Yes.
Oh, continue. Finish your point.
Yeah, I was going to say, need Stanton to stay healthy at the trot with the turf. I know that seems to be a killer for Stanton and Jabba's legs. So get out of this healthy and take 2 or 3, and that's it.
Oh, you didn't hear the new rule?
I did not. What new rule?
The new rule is that whenever Giancarlo Stanton hits a baseball on Tampa turf, what they're going to do is they're going to have a ghost runner standing right next to him.
They
so
should.
Giancarlo will never run on that damn
wow.
Ball.
That'd be great.
That would be cool.
They call it the Stanton rule. All right? They did this, but they won't allow the DH in both leagues. You're welcome.
That hurt.
Yep. Wow. You know what? Baseball.
Yeah, baseball. I'll stick with my final thoughts, pretty much right in line with you guys. But I feel the need to give some now because you guys did. So, you know, I'm going to join in. I'm a follower, I guess. I need the Yankees to do a lot for me this weekend. I need to win 2 out of 3. And I still think there's a very good chance they sweep. I believe in this team a lot. I believe in the pitching a lot. And the offense, I think they're inconsistent, of course, and we need to find that consistency, and especially with runners in scoring position. That's the biggest key, because even last game where we lost, like we said, 13 hits, that's more than enough to win most ball games, but it doesn't mean anything if you're not going to get hits at the right time. So
hit more homers, dude.
I was actually just going to say, I need some more homers, because I think that's part of the issue, actually. I think that's a small part of it. Because we are such a homer-oriented team that, of course, you need to know how to hit with runners in scoring position without homers, but homers mask up the games many times where we're not hitting with runners in scoring position, so it kind of balances out more. But right now, we're not hitting enough, so I think that might be the big fixer-upper that we're waiting on, but we'll have to wait and see. So go Yanks, and we'll find out in time if they're going to win this series, and we might do an episode after the series. We might wait till after the other one. We'll see. We'll figure it out. But we'll see how we're feeling. Sound good, guys?
Sounds juicy.
Sounds juicy?
Sounds great. Right. Yep.
Awesome. Well, this has been great as always. But until next time, this has been another splendid episode of the Yankee Center Podcast. See you, everybody.
Peace.
See ya.
Roofing in our door is bad.